You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, a podcast for spiritual souls on their journey of enlightening the world. I'm your host, Stephanie Powers. Welcome.
Frequency is what you frequently see. Your frequency is what you frequently see. You know, you hear about all these new age spirituality terms, frequency, ego, 5D, you know, the fifth dimension. And I think that this is great. This is really great because it means that so many of us are coming home to who we really are, which are spiritual beings having a human experience. But I think a lot of people are latching onto it as a way to disguise their ego. And I think a lot of these people are subconsciously doing it. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about how to be careful with spirituality and how to be careful because a lot of you listening to this, you may or may not have a lot of energetic friends or empathic friends. And on this episode, I want to talk about how to be careful, whose advice you take, and how to fine-tune your intuition to know when someone is projecting their own experience onto your experience and when you shouldn't listen to them, which I know can be really hard because it took me until I was 28 years old to realize my mama, she doesn't know what's best for me. She really doesn't, because she would project her own experience onto me without even knowing that she was doing it. And I hope it goes without saying, but in case it doesn't, I want you guys to know that when I talk about people projecting their own experience, they're not a bad person. They're not out to get you. They're not out to hurt you and change your mind and make them feel better. This is them subconsciously behaving from a hurt ego. Okay? And this is part of being a light worker. I go on so many shows now as a guest, and the number one question is always, what is a light worker? What does it mean to be a light worker? And there really is no solid, clear definition, but to be a light worker means you accept everyone for where they're at. You can scroll through Instagram and see people post things that you don't resonate with and think, no, well, that's what they love. That's what they're passionate about. That's what they want to talk about. That's cool. You don't feel the need to say, you know what? I'll have you know I'm typing this with my middle fingers and here's my opinion and I believe it's correct because of this. It's people who, like, for example, I just posted something. Ooh, let me pull it up. Actually, you know what? I'm not, because it is Wednesday morning, 8:58, and I haven't opened social media yet. You guys know my routine. This is how I set my stage for a, hopefully, happy day. I wake up, I drink my lemon water, I cuddle Jeffrey and just appreciate his presence and appreciate his time here. Jeffrey's my pug, for anybody new here. I cuddle him, I do a little bit of yoga to stretch my body and wake up, get my organs moving. Lemon water, and I don't touch electronics. And if I have to turn on my phone for whatever reason, maybe I want to play music or something, zoop, right into airplane mode. I don't want any text messages to come through. I don't want to be tempted to open social media. It's just a really good way to start your day on a balanced note. So this episode is going to be about energy and just how to be careful with it, with your own, with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers, because it's so powerful. Energy is love, and love is the greatest force on earth that can't be measured. Think about that. Love, the greatest force on earth that can't be measured. And love is an energetic thing, you know, it's love at first sight. I was immediately attracted to them and I didn't know why, but I had to see them, you know? Attraction, even if it's not romantic in a sense, it could be a friendship. I've met so many of you via Instagram or via the podcast to where we just hit it off in the DMs and we look forward to talking to each other every day. So it's just an energetic thing. And a lot of you guys are very much reaching out and asking, I want to try Reiki for the first time. Or my favorite is when you guys book a tarot reading with me and you tell me in your form that it's your first tarot reading and you're a little nervous. Or a lot of you say, my family would think I'm nuts if they knew I was booking a tarot reading. And I'm like, it's okay. They would think you're nuts because they're projecting their experience onto you, and their experience with spirituality, like astrology and tarot readings, is not a good one. So they look at it as bad and crazy, which is okay, because guess what? I kind of look at religion as bad and crazy, but I would never go into detail with that. It's just my personal opinion. And when we're talking about spirituality and light working, you remove all that shit. You come from a neutral standpoint. So a lot of you guys want to go to yoga classes to get centered and tap into that spirituality. You guys want to go to Reiki therapy. You want to, some of you even ask about going to South America to do a shaman ceremony and drink ayahuasca. Like, some of y'all, you're diving deep. I wouldn't even do that. I'm not ready. It doesn't resonate with me. The whole drinking ayahuasca tea and having an experience where you vomit bad energy. I'd rather stay in my treehouse with my coffee, but to each their own. Again, I'm not judging nobody. I encourage it. I encourage my friends who come to me and they're like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this, or I think I'm going back to that person, or of course, I've got my opinions, and of course, sometimes with my girlfriends, if they say they're going back to a relationship I know they shouldn't be in, I want to just grab them by the head and say, stop, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. Are you crazy? But I can't, because it's not my experience, it's not my journey, and they come to me as a safe space to, hey, I'm going back to this person. And I just have to love them from a distance and say, hey, I know, it's do your thing, girl. I'll be here for you. Let's talk about it when you need to. Because it's their own experience, and you just got to let people go, do their thing, and just love them through it. You think you know what's best for people, but you don't. You're just projecting what you think you know is best for people. So something that concerns me, the whole reason why I want to talk about this is because I've experienced it both personally, but also through you guys sharing stories and my friends here in town. You go to a yoga studio and the teachers are just, how do I put this? Can you guys hear? I've got my Sagittarius tongue that wants to be like, the teachers fucking suck. And then I have my Taurus rising that's like, and you don't fully resonate with the teachers because they just don't seem to click with you. And my Scorpio moon's like, don't say how you really feel. People will call the police. But you know what I mean. This is the same way you go to talk to a counselor. You go to talk to a therapist. And you just don't resonate. You just don't click. And that's fine. You guys have heard my BetterHelp advertisement here on the show. I love them. And I chose to work with them because of the fact that you can choose a different counselor. You sign up, they pair you with one, they match you with one. And if you're like, you know what, this person's really nice, but it's not 100% there. We don't fully resonate. And then you can just keep picking and choosing and going through counselors until you find the one. Because let me tell you, when you find the one, you'll probably work together for years because it's awesome. Mental health is so important, guys. Can we just like tip our hat to that? Mental health checkups should be just as popular as dental checkups, as physical checkups. They should be more popular. Like, it should be completely paid for to have at least 2 mental health checkups a month. At least, bare minimum. I don't care if you're having the best month of your life. You should still go to a third party, someone neutral who won't project their shit onto you, and talk about things. So you know what? I travel a lot. You guys know this. You follow my personal Instagram at Stephanie's_destiny. I've lived in Las Vegas, in California. I've lived here in Florida many a time, not just the Keys. I've been to the Pacific Northwest. Shout out to La Push Beach in Washington State. I've lived in Charleston, South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. The coastline of both Carolinas. I grew up in New England, was born and raised in southern Indiana-Kentucky border. I mean, I have been around all the different cultures here in the United States. And I've also been international. Costa Rica, Bahamas, Mexico. Ooh, love it, love it, love it. But what I've come to realize is circling back to what we said at the beginning of the episode. Frequency is what you frequently see. What you see in the world is what you feel inside. Okay. I get shit for this sometimes because what I feel inside is joy and love. I don't know how I reached a point in that. I think it's because I don't watch TV and I walk around barefoot every day and I just don't give a fuck. But I do. Deep at my core, I feel love and joy for every single human on this planet. I sound like such Hannah the hippie right now. But it's genuinely how I feel inside. So I go about my day and I go about my travels and that's all I see. I go to the grocery store and the 16-year-old bagging my groceries, I see love and joy. I go to the gas station and I go inside to go to the bathroom and I go to the front desk to get a key and I just see love and joy. Everywhere. Even to people that are rude to me and honk at me in traffic, I'm just like, oh, those poor puppies. They're so upset inside that they have to honk because I didn't immediately go at the green light. Oh, that sucks. That's what I see. So that's my frequency. That's what I attract to me. You guys love my captions on my personal Instagram because you're like, you are such a good storyteller. How do you run into these people? It's what I feel inside. My frequency is what I frequently see. It's what I attract. Now, with that being said, I live here in the Florida Keys. It's been my dream since I was 13, bitch. And now I'm here. So I had to throw in a little sass in there because I've literally wanted this for 17 years. And now I've got it. And I said bitch because I've got a little bit of anger left over from all the people who told me, constantly gave me opposition. It's too expensive. You'll get Keys disease, which for those of you who don't know, Keys disease is like island disease. It's not a literal physical disease. It's you'll become lazy and just want to hang around by the beach and drink and be lazy and do drugs and party all the time. Not the case. I work for myself. Thank you very much. And I am doing just fine. But again, frequency is what you frequently see. People have told me so much shit. It's too expensive. There's nowhere to live. You can never make it down there unless you know someone. I've heard it all, but here I am, because I didn't give up. But a lot of you on Instagram and a lot of my personal friends and family look at the Keys and say, wow, it's paradise, and it is. There is just nothing like it. But there are also quite a few people who look at the Florida Keys and say, oh my God, that is a redneck playground, which I don't disagree. I don't. There are pockets of the Keys. There's just at the end of my street, you guys probably look at my photos and you never guess this, but the very end of my street, there's KFC and Taco Bell in one restaurant. There's an IHOP. There's a Kmart. And then there's a neighborhood that I drive through to get to the Sunset Park every evening that has Trump flags on every fucking flagpole. And I'm not getting into politics. I'm not going there. Stop it. You ain't gonna get me do it. But there's Trump flags everywhere. And so a lot of people come down here and see that and they're like, oh God, redneck playground. So many lifted trucks, so many this, that. The same people at the bars every night, the locals with the Keys disease. Ew, this place is gross. And to those people, authentic Caribbean paradise feel is probably Costa Rica or maybe Hawaii. But you know what? When I went to Costa Rica for a month, I had people tell me, do not go anywhere alone. You're a young white girl, blonde hair, blue eyes. They are just going to be fiending over you and they're going to be so, like, you just got to watch your back. It's going to be so scary. It's a third world country. I went down there when I was in a very toxic relationship and we got in a fight and I had to go off on my own. And I can tell you this, I have never been more taken care of by strangers in my life. I was alone. And I remember coincidence. A girl was on vacation in Costa Rica for her birthday. I think we had the same birthday. And she got kidnapped by her Airbnb host and was like chopped into pieces and buried. I don't know what the fucking news says. I don't watch it because it's fake and it's put there to put fear in you. But I just remember being like, okay, that news is scary. But guess what? That shit happens in Chicago every day. It's not reported though. That shit happens in Atlanta every day. It ain't reported, though. It's happening right now in Boston. Who's talking about it? The news picks and chooses. The news. It picks and chooses. And the news chooses what it puts on TV. So I don't watch it. I don't have time for it. If I want news, if I want to know what's going on, I'll go out and talk to humans. What a concept. But I've never been more taken care of. I mean, my Airbnb host knew that I was leaving and he's like, no. Like, if anything, come to my house, because he had two homes. And he was like, come to my house. I will take care of you. And then I ended up finding this gorgeous place. Shout out to Andrea. She took me in and she made me brunch and we talked about everything and she gave me my own like dome tent. You know what's funny is, you guys know I have a boyfriend in Texas.
And this woman was so nice. She was born and raised in Costa Rica, but loved Texas because she loved NASA. And it was her dream as a little girl to be an astronaut. So she went to Texas for a while just to see NASA. And she was like, okay, yep, this is still my dream. I don't want to be an astronaut anymore because I'm too old. But she went there and she bought some supplies to make dome tents, like straight from NASA, like recycled materials to make dome tents. And now it's her Airbnb. She has like 6 or 7 dome tents. They are so cool. I would live in one. Okay, I bet you all are like got your pen and paper out. Like, where is this place? Let me go stay there. Faith Glamping in Puerto Viejo, Costa Rica. Faith Glamping, like glam camping. Faith Glamping in Puerto Viejo, Costa Rica. Andrea, tell her Stephanie Powers from Lightworkers Lounge sent ya. It's so cool. She's got like a swing that you can swing over the ocean. Okay, just go look it up. Google it. But going back to what I'm talking about, people tell me in Costa Rica, be careful, be careful. But then I go there and I have the best experience. The only bad experience I had was with my American boyfriend. But the best experience I had was with the locals who completely took care of me. Completely took me under their wing, made me free food, let me stay for free, like constantly text me on WhatsApp, are you okay, are you okay? Like, that's family right there. That's family right there. And even down here, it's like, oh, there are so many people who don't speak English. There's this, there's that. You gotta be careful, okay? I was at a park once, and the only people that said hello to me and Jeffrey were a Cuban family that I don't even know if they live here. They didn't speak a word of English, but they were having a big barbecue with like 10 family members, and they couldn't speak English. I couldn't speak that good of Spanish, but they waved me over, sat me down. Keep in mind, we're not even talking. They're just like, oh, go, here, like motioning me over. Pull up a seat at their table, tap on it as if they motioned me to sit down, and then the next thing I know, a woman's coming over to me with a plate full of like barbecue chicken and potatoes, and I was like, gracias. And then they take Jeffrey and put him on his own seat and start giving him chicken, and all the kids are petting him, and I'm just like, hola, gracias. And they're like, no habla inglés, and they just took me in. Do you think an American, like, okay, I feel like I'm gonna get in hot water talking about this, but do you think an American family is just gonna be like, come on in? No, I've been all over the country, and like, there's some really nice people, but they're not that open. They're not that comfortable. They always have their guard up, especially growing up in New England. People won't even look at you. Never mind motion you to come sit down at their dinner table. Okay. Y'all, don't get offended by this, please. I'm just going to keep it rolling. I'm not editing anything out. Just please don't get offended. Obviously, I love everybody, and I respect everyone's culture and what they do. I'm just saying my experience, my frequency. Now, another example is Hawaii, because sometimes I let people get to my head, and I'm like, okay, the Keys is just a bunch of fucking rednecks having a good old time in paradise. Sure, cool, got it. But then I'm like, okay, so where's authentic paradise? Where is an authentic tropical place? And a lot of people, because it's becoming popular, they'll say Bali. They'll say Hawaii, Kauai, Hawaii, all the islands in Hawaii. And it's like, okay, pretty sure they still have fast food and stuff, just like the Florida Keys, but all right. And so I talked to some of my friends who have lived in Hawaii. And, you know, again, just like the Florida Keys, half of them say it is paradise. There is something so magical about it. But then there are some people who say, ooh, be careful going out there as a white girl, because the natives, they don't like white people, and they will be fucking mean to you. They'll be nasty. And I'm like, you think so? Is that the frequency that you frequently see? I don't doubt you. I know for a fact there's always bad people everywhere you go. But it's just very interesting to see the contrasting perspectives of people's experiences. And, you know, when I tell someone, you know, I really want to visit Hawaii, I think it'd be a really cool place to maybe buy a house someday. Some people say, that's phenomenal, you'll love it. Other people say, good luck with that, you'll get kicked out, it's too expensive. You buy a jug of milk and it's $10. It's like, okay, so you're worried about how I'm going to afford it because you've never been able to afford things in your past. So you're going to project that energy onto my dream and taint it, because I'm human and I'm an empath. I'll absorb it. You know, when people come down here and say, you know, I don't really like the Florida Keys. They're not my thing. It kind of hurts my feelings because I'm like, this is the best place ever. But that's just ego. And when I step back into being a light worker, which is just a spiritual being having a human experience, I realize that everyone's entitled to their own opinion, to their own experience. Our experiences are happening for us, not to us, because maybe some people come down to the Keys and can't stand it because they're not supposed to be here. They're being directed and guided to go to Montana, where they're supposed to be and where they're supposed to have a really good experience. I think it's so funny when people... So I grew up in New Hampshire. Can't fucking stand it. It's just not my cup of tea. And you guys have heard me say this on the podcast a gazillion times. It's not. Me and New England as a whole, like as soon as I get to Pennsylvania or New Jersey, like when I'm driving back up there to go see family, it hits me. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm so a fish out of water. It's never been my vibe, never been my style, never will be. My mom and my brother are talking about moving out of New England and coming back home to the South and the Midwest where we were born and our family is. And I couldn't be happier. I'm over here like with my hands in a prayer stance, like, yes, mom, please leave. Because once they leave, I know I'll never go back. Oh, New England friends listening to this, I feel like you're getting offended. But don't. Let's talk about this. It's not my thing. And the universe, like, put experiences and energetic feelings in me to make sure that I never settled there because it was directing me to be down here or just down south as a whole where I belong, where I need to go as part of this life's destiny and this life's path. So, I find it funny that there's a lot of people who their dream is to go to Vermont and New Hampshire for fall to see the fall foliage because I'm like, y'all, it ain't that cute. But that's just to me. So it took me quite a while because I harbored so much anger and negativity towards New England that when I lived in South Carolina, I wouldn't even tell people. I would tell people I was from Indiana. But then I was like, okay, Steph, this is some inner shit that's all on you. You've got to stop. I think my mom even called me out, like, you've got to heal your negative relationship towards New Hampshire if you want to move on for good. Otherwise, it's going to keep drawing you back. And you're just going to have to keep facing it until you forgive it. So I did. I got to that point to where I was like, okay, I'm happy to be home in New Hampshire. And I'm fine with calling it one of my homes. It's okay now. But I make damn well sure people know it's not my forever home. But it's funny. Now I know, do not project my experience on people with New England. Because I was doing that. There would be people like, you know, my dream is to visit Massachusetts. I've always wanted to go to Boston or Salem, Massachusetts for Halloween. Or, oh, I've always wanted to go to Maine and have a lobster roll. And the old me, run on ego, would be like, good luck with that. The people up there fucking suck. It's always cold. It's really not that pretty. There's nothing good to look at. But that was my experience. I grew up there. And where we grow up, we're used to it. We're used to it. Of course, it's not, it loses its magic to us. But once I grew the fuck up and realized that New England to someone with new eyes is a really magical place. And it blows my mind, but it's true. To some people, New England is their Key West. New England is their Key West, just like Key West is my absolute magical place. And that's okay. So I needed to stop projecting my experience onto those people to let them be out of respect. To let them have their own experience. You know what I mean? Because when I was telling people, oh, yeah, good luck with that. People up there are so mean. If you drive, people are going to be so... The road rage is terrible. Like, I was nasty. Painting a picture for them already. And now when people ask me, especially down here, like, wow, you're from New Hampshire. I've always wanted to go. I'm like, it's a beautiful place to visit in summer. No, I'm positive about it. I'm like, you know, you should. You really should. Go see if you like it. The Sagittarius sarcasm won't stop. Hey, New England gave me sarcasm, so cheers to that. Now, let's circle back to Reiki therapy and yoga and even acupuncture, shaman ceremonies. We can even tie this into doing psychedelics like mushrooms or edibles, weed. You guys know how I feel about that, right? Just a quick, Debbie, I'm not pronouncing things right, and you're snoring in the background. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Steph and Jeff Show. So you guys know my opinion on weed and psychedelics. I don't do it every day. In fact, I hardly do it at all. Only when I feel called to. Wow, I'm trying really hard not to go off on a tangent. don't do weed or psychedelics when you're in a low spot. And a lot of times when I'm really low, I'm like, oh, I just want to grab my THC oil, put a few drops under my tongue and just chill. But that's bad because it's going to, what it does is it heightens what you're already feeling. So a lot of people who are like, I'll never touch weed, it gives me anxiety. Well, you probably ate an edible or smoked a blunt when you had anxiety. So it made it worse. You know what I'm saying? Try and do it when you're feeling happy and high and having a good time. Anyways, to tie that into what I'm talking about, if you're going to do psychedelics, don't, like mushrooms, let's just say mushrooms, don't do it at a party where you're around a bunch of people you don't know and you don't trust. Do it with someone who you trust, that makes you laugh, who you love. Someone like that who brings good energy to the table. Otherwise, it's going to taint your experience of the whole thing. Weed, mushrooms, psychedelics, anything. Be very careful with it. The first time I did mushrooms, psilocybin, was with my mom and my brother, and I made sure, I don't know if they knew I was doing it, but I made sure that we had a really good day prior to that evening doing the mushrooms together because it just accentuates what you already feel. And we did them together and it was so fun. All we did was go for a hike in the woods. And then we were all like, okay, we kind of want to go have our own experience. So like I went on the roof of our little lake house in Maine and just did some journaling. I think my brother went for a walk by himself. I think my mom just sat by the lake and it was so cool. You know, it's really cool to have family members that you can be like, hey, we're having so much fun together, but energetically I'm feeling a little depleted. Can I just go off on my own, circle back in a couple hours for dinner? Yeah, cool. It's a gift, really. Now, Reiki therapy. For those of you who don't know what Reiki therapy, it is balancing your chakras. It's balancing your chakras, putting energy back into them and taking out excess energy. And there's Reiki therapists. It absolutely terrifies me that there are some people working in the healing modalities, like Reiki and yoga, who are filled to the brim with negativity and hatred and black energy. It is so scary, and it makes me wonder how they even... No, actually, I don't wonder. I know people like that get into careers like this because they desperately need healing. They desperately need light, and they're not doing the healing. I think they, you know, maybe these people do heal others and it just makes them, it puts a band-aid on how they're truly feeling inside, but they're not doing the inner work. So I know people who are cruel. They're so cruel. And then they're putting people on a table and giving them Reiki energetic therapy. What do you think they're putting into people? Even when you go get a massage, say you just go to like a chain, like Massage Envy, and you're like, yeah, I'll take whoever. As long as it's a female, I don't care. What do you think if that woman had a knockout, dragout fight with her partner earlier that morning? Cried and cried and cried, but then sucked it up and went to work. She's got to pay the phone bill on time. What energy do you think she is rubbing into your body? As the lights are off, you've got your head down in the massage table. Do you think she's thinking about you and like spiritual things? I mean, hey, some people might. But if they just had a nasty fight or they just lost a loved one or a pet, you know, it's just anything negative. If they're already a negative person, what are they thinking as they rub into your skin? You know, what are they putting into you? So I'm always I've had massages where I felt awful after, just low, just not good. And then I've had massages where I fly out of the room. I remember one time when I was having like the worst week of my life, it's when I lost my two cats and my career was suffering because I was so depressed. I went and got all out. I got cupping, hot stone massage and a deep tissue massage all in one. And, my ex-husband at the time, he booked it for me. And I remember he told the woman that I was just really struggling lately through grief and loss and stress. So she was like, okay, let's make this really special for her. So she did. And I could tell that she was focused on my energy the whole time. Oh, she was so powerful. I wish I had her name. This was in Charleston, South Carolina. But she, I remember crying during the session, just tears pooling out of my eyes. And I didn't even know why, especially as she did the Reiki near my neck and my head, my third eye. But it was so powerful. And I was flying on white wings out of that room. It was great. Now, how do you find these people? That's probably what you're all wondering. I like to look at their website. I like to see their writing style. Of course, I like to look at a photo. Do I resonate with the energy that they're putting off? And I can see auras. So I look at their photo and I see, is their aura dark? Is it red? Is it yellow? Is it green? Is it purple? Where are they at right now? Or where were they at in that photo? Photos are a big thing for me, even with yoga studios. And thankfully with yoga, you can go to a beginner's class. It's usually free or sometimes it's just $5. So you can go see if you resonate with the teacher. I know when I join a new yoga studio, I usually go through about 3 or 4 teachers. I try all the different types of classes before I find that one that I'm like, oh, like I walk into the studio and I'm like, hey, what's up? And we talk about personal stuff. But then there's some instructors that are just stiff. It's like, you know, they're there just to teach. They're not there for the spiritual aspect of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. So if that's you or you know someone like that, it's not a negative thing. This is just their types of personalities. And me, some people love those teachers who are there strictly business. I'm looking at you, Capricorns. Some people love teachers who are there for strictly business. I'm that Sag that wants to hang out and just like roll around on the studio with my socks and my slippers on and talk to everyone in the room about their pets. And you just go and be yourself. Now I'm thinking about how do you protect yourself from absorbing negative energy from other healers? You have to be so in tune with yourself and your intuition. Your radar has to be up, your bullshit radar, your negative energy radar, to know, is this a good place or is this a bad place? Sometimes with yoga studios, you can feel it immediately. You know, I love yoga. It's become so mainstream and like sexy and cool and like really cool that I don't talk about it. I have a daily yoga practice that I do. I have a flow that is such an important part of my life. And when I tell people, they're always like, wait, what? You do yoga? I'm like, every fucking day. Yes, I do. And they're like, wow. They're just baffled that I don't post like videos of it on my Instagram or talk about it or take pictures. Like, you guys, there's some Easter eggs of my yoga practice on my Instagram. There's some photos of me doing handstands and shit. But I don't know. It's just, to me, personally, yoga is a spiritual practice. And I just keep it sacred to myself. That's all. But you can feel it. Yeah. When you go into a yoga studio, you can feel if someone's doing it just because it looks really cool on paper to say that I'm a yoga teacher and I own a studio. Or you can feel like, oh yeah, somebody started this studio because they love the practice. They love the energetic healing that it brings to people. You can feel it. You can totally feel it. And same with a Reiki therapist. I bet some of y'all are wondering like, okay, so I look at a Reiki therapist online and I vibe and then I show up and I'm like, whoa. Oh dear, what do you mean I have to wait 10 more minutes while you finish up your cigarette? What? No offense to anyone that smokes, but it just always freaks me out. Like, I've had a yoga teacher who cranked cigarettes, had these giant fake tits, always showed up with a McDonald's bag, bleached blonde hair, fake eyelashes. But you know what? You know what? I would laugh as she walked in with her orange Gatorade. I would laugh like, oh, this is funny shit. But I was being judgmental. In my mind, I'm like, yoga teachers should be vegans and drink alkaline water and coconut water fresh from the coconut. But it's not true, because this woman, she was a hard ass, kind of. She was like a bodybuilder. But I loved her. I didn't agree with her yoga flow because I don't go into yoga to like physically tone my body. Again, it's a spiritual thing for me. But I liked it because she would really push us to the edge to physically train our bodies. But then at the end with Shavasana, she would go around and give us all little mini massages for a couple minutes. And she had a very energetic touch to her. I was like, okay, I like you. I like you. I mean, you're a McDonald's and you're lifted oversized Jeep. You're really cool. But you know, ultimately, don't be scared if you go get Reiki from someone and you, as soon as they start, you're like, oh shit, what did I get myself into? Because the chakras can always be balanced through other modalities. Nobody's going to curse you. Nobody's going to put like a voodoo doll on you. None of that's going to happen because you guys are smart enough to not go that deep down the rabbit hole. But, you know, I'm trying to think how I want to wrap this up. It's same with tarot readers. Ooh, that's a really good point to bring up. Oh, yes, it's a very good point to bring up. There are some tarot readers who are not evolved enough to put their own shit behind them. Like, I don't know. Say you go see a tarot reader who's gone through 5 nasty divorces, doesn't have any kids even though they really wanted them, and you sit down for a reading and they see in your cards that you are about to get married to the love of your life and have 2 happy, healthy children and live happily ever after. An unevolved tarot reader would be like, how do I say this? You know what I mean? I've had people like that to where I can immediately feel like, ooh, you're throwing a little bit of your own projections from past experiences into my reading. And I don't know how to explain the feeling, but I know you know that when you're getting a reading from someone and you don't resonate with them, you immediately tune out. You close your senses and you're like, okay, I need to stop listening to this. Because it's an intuitive gut feeling, and it's not a strong feeling at all. It's just, it's in your gut. Like, okay, just let this reading finish and know that you're not here to learn anything from it. Just let it happen. It's very rare that that does happen, I will say. And a part of it can be you as well. Like, I do tarot readings, and they always go phenomenal. They always go phenomenal because I really believe that you guys who resonate with me will find me and come get a tarot reading. That's why I don't really promote it. But there are occasionally some people that will say, my birth chart or my tarot reading made absolutely no sense. I completely disagree with you. And I'm like, that's fine. That's totally fine. Maybe you weren't ready to hear that message. I don't know. But okay, if we had to wrap this podcast up with one word of wisdom, be careful with spirituality. It's becoming so mainstream that a lot of people are using it as a band-aid over a lot of wounds that they don't want to fix and heal. They want to jump into a career in spirituality just because they're broken. And helping others is like a hit of dopamine. It makes them temporarily feel better. When in reality, they're subconsciously pouring negative energy out into the world because they're ignoring their own healing. You guys are empaths. You're very smart. You are very in tune. Trust yourself when it comes to choosing a Reiki therapist or a yoga teacher or a tarot reader. Your intuition will tell you who's right and who's wrong, what messages to take and which ones to leave behind. And even with your friends who are intuitive empaths like you, when they're giving you advice or your family, remember that they are projecting their experience onto you. So if you have a dream, if you have a place like the Florida Keys is to me that you want to live, or a career that you want to pursue, and you're looking for that outside validation, you want your friends to be like, yeah, totally, you'd be great at that. You want your mom and dad to be like, I'm so proud of you. Yeah, you should pursue that. But you're not getting it, and it's tainting your experience and making you second guess. Stop it. Follow your intuition. And sometimes you'll reach a point where you realize, don't share your dreams with anyone. With anyone. Just go out there and make them happen and then share your successes with them. Sometimes you have to get to that point because you realize, shit, I am completely surrounded by people who don't unconditionally support me. And it's not that they're doing that to be mean. It's a subconscious projection that they are pouring onto you. And then it's up to you as the one who's just a little bit more awakened than them to say, okay, I can't go to that person because all they do is project their past pains and experiences onto mine. And my dream is so delicate that I need to protect it from energies like that. So I'm going to pick and choose what I share with people. And something that just came to mind that I got to spit out is the twin flame dynamic. When you meet a relationship that's karmic, or especially twin flame, I highly suggest keeping it to yourself or only sharing it with people who have experienced things like that. I have no idea why I felt compelled to share that, but somebody needed to hear it. Okay. It's 9:30. Me and Jeffrey are going to go to the beach. I got to walk him. He's going to go swimming. I feel like, speaking of being energetic and in tune, I feel like you guys can feel what I'm about to tell you. There's a surprise, and you'll know next week. Ah! Okay. I love you guys. You're my friends. You're my family. I will see you next week on the show and, of course, on Instagram at Lightworkers Lounge. Be sure to subscribe to Lightworkers Lounge and leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other people find us. Okay, the song I want to leave you with this week is something I blast on the overseas highway here in the Florida Keys all the time. It's a mellow song. My Scorpio moon really likes it. It's called What If I Told You That I Love You by Ali Gatti. Katie. You can find it on our Lightworkers Lounge Spotify playlist of the month, as well as all songs that are featured on the show. I love you guys. I will see all of our premium plan subscribers this Friday for a bonus chat, and everybody else next Wednesday on the show. Sending you lots of love from the Florida Keys. Goodbye.
What if I told you that I love you? Would you tell me that you love me back? What if I told you that I miss you? Would you tell me that you miss me back? What if I told you that I need you? Would you tell me that you need me? Yeah. If I tell you all my feelings, would you believe me? Yeah. What if I told you that I love, 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 love you? Yeah. What if I told you that I love, 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 love you? If I told you that I need you, would you tell me that you need me too? But if I told you that I love, 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 love you, hey, when you told me that you love me, was I a fool to believe in you? When you told me I was special, was I dumb for trusting you? When you told me that you want me, did you really want me? It's all a joke to you. I don't wanna say I miss you if I don't know that you miss me back. I don't wanna say the wrong thing if I do, there's no coming back. What if I told you that I need you? Would you tell me that you need me? Yeah. If I tell you all my feelings, would you believe me? Yeah. What if I told you that I love you?